Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on my couch. Welcome, everybody. We're here on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to internet talk station. Irreverent, cool, and so entertaining. As always, I'm going to help you out today. We're going to conquer those fears. I'm going to help you get over some of that stuff going on in your mind that you create. You know, my special guest has been on the show before. He's an amazing author and also a psychiatrist. Yeah, you're gonna hear it from a man who has been dealing with patients for years and years about how to manage their fear. And let me ask you guys some questions, because this is kind of important. Do you have a lot of fears? Do you have some fearful thoughts that tend to get in the way of your life? Come on, we all do. All of us do. And most psychologists, like myself, have suggested that there's a small set of basic and innate or emotions that we're born with. Fear, of course, is one of them. And it's normal. It's for survival. By the way, in case you want to know what the other ones are, there's joy, sadness, fright, dread. Babies have all these. Horror, panic, anxiety, acute stress. You see all these things going on, reaction and anger. And fear is closely related to anxiety, which occurs as a result of threats which are perceived to be uncontrollable or unavoidable. And that's usually the way it is with most of us. And we all have these five typical patterns that we use to feed our fears, I think. From what I've read, this is very common. I mean, you know, we have the worst case scenario, right? We always fear the worst. A lot of the conspiracy theorists, you know, say these things. We'll be sitting in a plane on our way somewhere, and we'll see the cabin crew walking down the aisle kind of frowning, and we'll automatically assume something bad's going to happen. Oh, that's worst case scenario. Stop. We got to face those fears and deal with that. But, you know, it's normal. We catastrophize. That's another one that I love, that word. Catastrophizing. You automatically think that because there's a change in pressure, we're going to go back to the same plane flight here. There's something wrong. Oh, my God. What's happening? Something wrong with me physically. There's also the intellectual resistance. You know, you've decided there's nothing you can do to get over your fear, so you're just going to have to white knuckle it. A lot of people. You are in control, people. Automatic thoughts, we have those. You know, the chatterbox in your head goes crazy. Those little voices. You know, you want to say, stop bothering me, go away. Visualizing disaster. We have a huge creativity chip in our brains to visualize. Well, of course, thank you very much to the media and all the explicit violence that we see in films. Just fuels our fears. And, you know, that's the way it is, unfortunately. I mean, that's the way it goes. But today, we're going to help you with all those things. My on-air guest today is Dr. Joseph Schrand, and he's a triple board certified psychiatrist. And he's also a child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist. He also works with addiction. And also is an instructor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, and is the director of an intervention unit, and it's for high-risk teens at the High Point Treatment Centers. And he's co-author of the book we're going to be talking about today with Leigh Devine, I believe that's her name, or Devine. She has a Master's of Science degree from the Columbia School of Journalism. She's a journalist, writer, and producer. She's created several award-winning educational and commercial programs and documentaries, and of course, like I said, co-authored the book we're talking about today. It's called The Fear Reflex, 5 Ways to Overcome It, and Trust Your Imperfect Self. Let's pull him up on the air right now. Dr. Joseph Schrand, it's such a pleasure to have you on the air with me today. How you doing?
Dr. Michelle, it is so great. And, you know, we haven't spoken for about a year and a half.
I know.
So glad to be back.
It's
lovely.
Awesome to have you on the show, as always. I was so excited. You wrote this other book. you've written several books, but you've written this one, and we're going to help people handle, you know, their fears today. Let's just do that. Let's just take 50 minutes out, you and I, and just say, hey, guys, this is the way it is. But more important, we're going to tell you guys out there how to get a hold of Dr. Schrand's book, because it is a great read. And I am, by the way, Joseph, I'm going to give this to many clients I have, and you know, I'm not going to give my copy. No, I'm going to have them pick up this book, because it really does explain so much about why we have fear, where it comes from, some of the fears that, you know, are validated but unnecessary, pretty much. So we'll be giving that information out to you. And let me also encourage you guys, if you'd like to call in, you have a question for Dr. Schrand, you can do so, 323-203-0815. Los Angeles number right here, 323-203-0815. Or you can email me if you're shy. You want to get your voice not on the air. You want to just ask a question. You can contact me at straight.
Tell them, don't be afraid to get your voice on the air.
Thank you.
Get out there. Come on.
See how you are. You're so good. don't be afraid. Call us. We're gonna force you to white knuckle it.
But I'm telling you, that really is part of the core of this, because people are so afraid to really put themselves out there.
Yeah.
And part of that is because we fear that we will be devalued.
Mm.
This really is a major, major root of what fear is all about.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So let's just kind of jump in. Oh, by the way, that email is Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL. If you want to just shoot me, you know, an email, guys. So that is exactly right. And I love that concept. It is, you know, it's a psychiatric concept that you yourself have devised, and we're going to be talking about how to help people. But why, basically, did you write this book, Dr. Schrand?
You know, I wrote this book because I have been noticing how much, just as you said in the introduction, mm-hmm. how much the media is sort of instilling these fears in us, how sometimes fears are created without us even realizing that we're being inundated with these dangers. And I thought, you know, I've been working on this particular approach really since 1982, when I first started thinking about this, called the I Am approach, which we'll get into.
Yeah.
I thought, you know what? I'd like to share that with folks, because it's such a very easy, simple way of addressing so many of these difficulties and dilemmas people run into.
Yeah.
It is a simple approach,
and it really does help overcome fears. And what you say in your book is what I've been saying for a long time and trying to help people with, and I just... there is a... paragraph, folks, just a note here on page 96. We'll knock your socks off. We're going to get into that in a little bit, too. I mean, my goodness. By the way, we might as well just let them kind of know, but I mean, most of us know what our fear reflex is. But how would you define that?
Again, as you said in the opening introduction, fear is a perfectly normal part of being human. And I'm telling you, as you were talking about, you know, the scenario on an airplane, you know, and I couldn't help of the flight response. Mm. Couldn't help myself. Get it?
Yeah, I get it.
You know, flight. Yeah, bad joke. But anyway, here's the deal. We are survival machines. We are so really good at survival. And one way that we have learned to survive is to very quickly assess the degree of danger that seems to be confronting us.
Mm-hmm.
And that activates the flight response, the anxiety that we experience when we perceive danger. And we want to avoid danger so that we can survive again. And this activates a very elegant brain system where a chemical from the brain, sort of like Paul Revere, sends a message, there's danger,
yeah.
And Paul Revere sends this message down to these tiny little glands on top of our kidneys called the adrenal cortex, the adrenal glands, and they send out a message of the Minutemen, which is really cortisol and adrenaline. And you guys experience this. And so what happens in your body? You know what you experience when you're feeling fear.
Yeah.
Your heart rate begins to increase. Your breathing may change. Your muscles may tense up. You may feel sick to your stomach. You may get the cold sweats. You begin thinking these catastrophic thoughts. And all you want to do is get out of there.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful, elegant system. Because what's happened? You begin diverting blood to your arms and legs so you can run away or fight off a predator.
Yes.
But that blood has to come from somewhere.
Right.
So the blood comes from your gut because there's no point digesting lunch if you're about to be lunch.
Yeah.
So you take the blood from your gut. And that's where you get those sort of weird butterflies and sick feeling in your stomach.
Yeah.
And you divert blood from your skin. And that's where you get the cold sweats, which also is a beautiful, elegant survival machine, because if you're going to have to run far to get away from that tiger, you don't want to overheat.
Yes.
So it's perfect. It's elegant. It's wonderful. It's survival. But it can be triggered when there are no saber-toothed tigers.
Right.
That's the problem.
That is the problem. So we get to let go of that, and we're not having to fear those tigers anymore. And but you, again, and I know you mentioned this just previously, you just touched on it at the beginning, but you say that our fears are actually more profound than ever before. What's up with that? Why is that, Dr. Schrand?
I think it's really because we are such social animals, and now we've really made it into this real social domain. Again, from an evolutionary point of view, if you think about it, when we were evolving, we were never the biggest animal, the fastest, or the strongest. Mm-hmm. We were always these little solitary animals. We were prey.
Yeah.
And then we began to form these small social groups. And our survival potential increased so dramatically that human beings are now everywhere on the planet, but pretty much everywhere. But to remain part of that protective group, you have to contribute something. You have to have value. And that's why I think in our society these days, when we are inundated with all of these basically criticisms that say you are not valuable enough unless you do this, unless you wear the right clothes, unless you have the right deodorant, unless you drive the right car, unless you go to the right school, unless you earn the right amount of money. Unless, it's like, you know what? Enough already.
Yeah.
This is not a measure of my value.
Yes.
Very important. So we are really inundated with these bombardments of saying you are not enough, you are less than you can.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, you know what? I think you're the best that you can.
Yes.
At every moment in time. And I call that an I am. This is who I am. Capital I, capital M. It stands for current maximum potential. And I started thinking about this back in 1982.
Yeah.
When I was taking physics, people still awake? Because I know whenever I mention the word physics, people immediately fall asleep.
Right.
So I just wanted to be sure, haven't gotten anybody. So in physics, the symbol I, capital I, stands for potential current. It stands for electricity.
Right.
But I thought, you know what, let me flip it upside down, and let me call it a current potential.
Yes.
And what if I start looking at everyone at a maximum current potential, and I am?
Yes.
How does that change somebody else's perception of the way they are being viewed?
Right.
And how does that then influence the way they begin to perceive themselves and their actions in the world?
Right.
That's what I start doing.
Yes. Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. It's almost like, you know, when our family or friends, or you as a psychiatrist, I know, deal with your patients, and I talk with mine as well, and we say, you know, possibly those people that were mean to you or abused you were doing the best that they could at the time because they didn't know any better. I mean, it's basically sort of what you're saying, right?
That's very much it. That's mm-hmm. very much it. Yeah. So this isn't about blaming.
Yeah.
But it's also not saying that you don't take responsibility. Remember, if you're not responsible for
right.
what you do,
right.
then you're never in control of your life. Mm. And if you're not in control, you're always going to be anxious, angry, or sad.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, you know what? You are going to be held responsible for what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean it's not the best you can do at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's influenced by four domains. It's influenced by the biological domain, which is what we spoke about. And
right.
that's the first step in these five steps. It's being able to really understand that we have these tiny terrors
mm-hmm.
that can activate this huge biological system.
Mm-hmm.
So tiny terrors is the first thing. Recognize those tiny terrors, what they may be that make you anxious.
Right.
The next domain has to do with the way we begin to see ourselves and the way we think other people see us. I call that
mm-hmm.
the I see domain, our current concept of myself.
I look, see myself,
human beings
yeah.
are very,
yeah.
yeah, right, we're really interested in what other people think or feel,
mm-hmm.
that's empathy.
Yeah.
But what we really want to know is, what are you thinking and feeling about me?
Right.
That's what I really want to know.
That's right. But
and that happens rapidly.
Right, and we misinterpret that most of the time. I mean, you know, it's our own stuff assuming things that other people are thinking about us, which isn't necessarily true.
Not necessarily true
right.
at all. That's right.
Right. Well, yeah. It makes
and,
a lot
of course,
sense.
If you're doing it, everyone's doing it.
Well, right.
And
exactly.
That's the beauty of it. If
right.
you're doing it, everyone's doing it. Where are those influences coming from?
Right.
That gets to the next two steps.
Yeah.
One is unexpected undercurrents, our home domain.
Oh, boy.
Something's happened at home that really parents, they don't necessarily, they're not really trying to instill fear in their kid. I really don't think the
mm-hmm.
vast majority of parents want to do that.
Yeah.
But we may be doing it without realizing it.
Right.
Like, you know, the things that are what we consider protective may send a message to our kids that they are vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's this double-edged sword. We want to protect our kids,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, we don't want to give them the impression that they are so vulnerable that they can't really explore the world.
Yes.
And that's the fourth domain,
okay.
is the world, the social
right.
domain.
Right, right.
You know, I've given home a special place because
mm-hmm.
it's so important.
Ugh.
But
yeah.
then there's the rest of the world.
Right.
It's you and I chatting on the phone. It's being at work. It's being at school. It's being out in the playground. It's going to get coffee.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in this enormous world, and
right.
every person in that world
right.
is interested mm. in what you think or feel about them.
Yes. It's
Isn't
so
that amazing?
True. It is amazing. It is. By the way, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today. Been on the show before with his wonderful books, Dr. Joseph Schrand, psychiatrist and Harvard Medical School man. And he's got so many accolades going on. I'll talk more about those at the end of the show. But what we're talking about right now is his latest book. It's called The Fear Reflex, 5 Ways to Overcome It and Trust Your Imperfect Self. We'll also be talking about how to get the book. It's one of the best I've ever read, honestly. It's a nice, a smaller book, which I really enjoy, but you get right to it. You get to the parts that affect us all in our lives and talk about the biological part, the tiny terrors, the how others see us. That scares us, lots of fears, the home domain, what it was like growing up in our environments, and the social domain, how difficult that is in this world, just trying to survive socially. If you'd like to call in live, the number here, 323-203-0815, all right? I have a question, because, you know, I'm fascinated with how our environments growing up, our parents, our caregivers, whoever they may have been, influence us. You talk about how the influence of our caregivers affected us so heavily as children in your book, but you say sometimes, and this is just touching again on, you know, they're doing the best they can, and that they're not really to blame. I mean, come on, so many people who I speak to and you speak with have such severe abuse. How can they not blame these people?
It's true. And the abuse part, I think this is one of the hardest things for people to really begin to appreciate with the I am approach.
Yeah.
Because how on earth are you meant to say that an abusing person is doing the best they can?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm never saying they're doing the best they ever can. But again, let's step back for a moment and look at the influence of the four domains on their life. Mm-hmm. What happened in their home life? What happened in their social domain?
Right.
What's going on with them biologically? How did they see themselves through the eyes of others?
Yes.
And so when we step back that way, I'm not saying that you have to like what somebody is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying you have to condone it. And I'm not saying it's a free ride. That person, all of us, are held responsible for what we do, because what we do affects somebody else's I am, somebody else's current maximum potential.
Yes.
But rather than judge them negatively, let's step back and look again at why they do what they do.
Yes.
Now, what's really interesting is when you think of looking again, to do something again, a prefix is re, R-E. To look is spect.
Yeah.
But isn't it weird that when you look again, it's actually respect?
Yes, it really
is. I'm not saying it's the same thing as liking it, you know?
Yeah.
But when we look at somebody else and wonder, why did you do this to me?
Yes.
Why did you hurt me? That person can begin to heal. And the way they heal is this. Many, many children who are abused don't say, why did you hurt me?
Yes.
They say, what's wrong with me?
God, doesn't that break your heart? I mean,
yeah,
we all do that.
Right. There must be something wrong with me.
What did I do? Yeah.
What did I do? What did I do? And what I'm saying is, you know what? It has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
You have value. Even though this person who's meant to be your caregiver is being abusive. And I'm not condoning abuse. Mm. Nobody deserves to be abused.
Yes.
But the person who's abused has to be able to step back, you know, and look at themselves through this other lens of the I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am responding to the world because somebody hurt me, it's affected my brain and the way I view the world, which will affect my relationships at home and in my social domain, but I don't need to do that anymore.
Yes.
Because I can step back and look, and that is the fifth step.
Oh, yes.
Which is traversing together.
Ah.
We are in this together as part of a social group, and you have value in that group.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. It is so true. So these are steps here. These are concrete five ways to overcome
concrete.
And trust our imperfect self. And that's okay, guys.
Right. And notice imperfect. I am perfect.
Yes.
And I am. You are at an
that's
I am.
Right.
You're doing the best you can.
Yes.
You know, I want to just go back to abuse for a moment because it's such an important topic. This is what I say to my patients. I'll ask them, you know, do you know what a living room is?
Yes.
Right? What's a living room, Dr. Michelle?
Well, that's the place we all sit around and get comfortable and have people come and visit us in, where we can all enjoy the niceties of coffee and tea and things like
exactly.
That.
And what is an attic in a home? Not an attic.
Yes.
An attic. What's an attic?
Yes, it's the room above where sometimes our children who turn 30 don't have any more jobs and they come back to live with us. No, I'm sorry. That's just a little private joke. Private joke, Dr. Fan.
Well, we've certainly learned a lot about you just now, Dr. Michelle. But this is right. You're right. It's a place where we store things.
Yeah,
hopefully
storage,
not our children.
Storage.
But we store things, you know, like decorations, old photographs, old furniture, trophies. And every now and then we bring something out of that attic. We put it in our living room. We give it a place of honor. And we say, this is part of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put it back up in the attic. So what I suggest to patients of mine who've suffered trauma is they need to create an emotional attic because they've got too much stuff in their living room and it's taken up their living space. And I say to them, if anybody ever tells you to get over this stuff, you tell them to go to act. Because you don't. You can't get over it. But you must, you must, you must come to terms with it. You have to come to terms with this because it's part of you. It doesn't need to be in your living room. But it has an influence on who you are. Now you get to choose what you want to do with that influence. Because you control no one, but you influence everyone in the world. Just think about that. That is part of the I am. You're part of someone's home domain, someone's social domain. You have an effect on their brain and the way they think they see you. You control no one. You influence everyone. That's power. That's strength. And isn't that one of the ways that we confront our fears? Is recognizing we are not powerless?
That's right.
Exactly. And then the other thing that the I am says is because everything's so interconnected, small changes have big effects. You don't need to change everything at once. If you think you've got to change everything, you're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to feel afraid.
Relax.
Small change has a big effect.
Gosh, is that true? And your book, The Fear Reflex, can help people learn how to relax. I want to get back into that in just a bit. As well, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today, Dr. Joseph Schrand. He's a psychiatrist, and he's written The Fear Reflex, great book, 5 Ways to Overcome It and Trust Your Imperfect Self. We have an email that came in that I would love to explore. We have a lot of emails sort of on hold here, but this one jumped out in front of me because it's pertinent to what we're talking about. Shall we tackle it? Should we go for
it? Let's do it.
All right.
I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. This is from Jessica. She says, I'm a single 30-year-old. My mother was an abused girl, and she's very passive. However, my father physically and emotionally abused me, and she never did anything about it. Ever since I can remember growing up, I was locked in my room, in the dark, beaten, and emotionally put down. I felt I was never good enough and always, let's see, I'm trying to read this, and I always asked what I did wrong. I have always had to walk on eggshells around men. I have a good job and can support myself, but I keep having relationships with men who try to control me. How can I get over this? And again, this is from Jessica. Thank you so much for emailing us. It's a great, great email.
It's a great email, and Jessica, you know, what you talk about, you've captured so many people's sense of being powerless, and so many people sense that somehow it was their fault.
And then
what we do as human beings is sometimes we become so familiar with something, we recreate it, and we get into a relationship that recreates these things. As in a way, we're trying to master it, but there's a difference, and I think, you know, I appreciate the email, Jessica. You need to ask yourself, is this familiar or comfortable? Is it really comfortable to be in those relationships, or is it simply familiar? There's really a difference, and really the I am approach allows you to step back and look at the four domains that have influenced why you're doing what you're doing right now, but without judging that you're doing something wrong. Of course you're responding to the world this way, given the influence of the domains. It's the best you can respond at this time. But that doesn't mean you have to like it. It doesn't mean you have to condone it. You take responsibility for it, which gives you power, but look at yourself without judgment. Because isn't that what you've been worried about all along? That people judge you as less than? You're doing the best you can. Step back. Enjoy this part of you. And I assure you, over time, you begin to recreate and rekindle your own sense of self-respect, which leads to self-value, which makes you be able to trust yourself more, and you will make the decisions that move you forward in your life to another I am.
That's beautiful. And Jessica, I'm going to be telling you how you can get a hold of his book, The Fear Reflex, which really will help you. And we do follow through with a lot of those automatic thoughts about I'm not good enough, I always have to walk on eggshells. In this case, it sounds like Jessica towards men. So I have to find men who are going to control me, because this is all I know. This is what's normal, is men control me. And yet those relationships turn out, I don't know if she's had any abusive relationships, she didn't mention that, but this turns out as being really not good or not healthy for people like Jessica, because they keep repeating these patterns, and, you know, it's an unhealthy situation where someone's always trying to control you.
And then my guess is, and it's just a guess, that Jessica then begins to blame herself as being less than and not strong enough. And no wonder I was locked in a closet.
Yes. No wonder I was locked in a closet. My God. Well, you know, bless your heart, Jessica. Thank you so much for reaching out. And this book will help you get in touch with more control and also your self-esteem and, like you said, your self-worth.
And I just want to add, Dr. Michelle, that the fact that, Jessica, that you've written this email, you've opened the door to the closet. Mm. You've already stepped one step out.
Beautiful.
So welcome to the world.
Welcome to the world, girl. Be a little more selective. Get into helping yourself with your self-esteem a little more, your self-worth. In the Good Will Hunting film, it's not your fault.
That's right.
Okay?
And wasn't it one of the most powerful moments in that film? Robin Williams wraps his arm around.
Yeah.
And don't you just feel that compassion?
Oh, my God, yes.
Incredible moment.
Incredible moment. But that's exactly what you're talking about in your book, you know?
Yep.
Understanding it's not your fault. Apparently, your caregivers who were abusing you were possibly doing the best they could at the time. They didn't know any better. They were abused. There's always excuses. But they're real. There's always something that causes us to behave the way we are towards others, fear, anger, abuse, whatever it is. There are reasons. And it's hard to forgive folks, isn't it? It's hard.
It is. It's hard. It's hard to forgive, but I think it starts with forgiving yourself.
Mm.
You know, and that's what the I am is saying. Relax. You really are doing the best you can at this moment. It doesn't mean it's the best you'll ever do. It doesn't mean you don't have the potential to change in the very next second. Because we do. Our bodies are changing all the time. Look, a lot of people argue with me, Dr. Michelle, how can someone be doing the best they can? But I want to just bring it down as a physician to a cellular level.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are a collection of cells. A heart cell doesn't wake up one morning and say, you know what, today I'm only going to beat half as much. It just doesn't. But it will only beat half as much if something else is happening in its environment.
Mm.
So if there's cholesterol plaques, if the heart environment itself, the home domain of the heart, has been infiltrated, if the social domain of the heart, the rest of the body, sees the heart cell as some foreign element, if the IC domain of the heart cell, the way it sees itself, is saying, oh, there's something going on with me, I need to respond to the world around me, and the biological domain of the heart cell is its DNA and its protein synthesis, and it responds the best it can. But you change the environments around that heart cell.
Yes.
It's going to change its response to the world.
Yes.
So who am I to say that that heart cell wasn't doing the best it could given the environment around it? You change the environment, you change the response.
Mm.
And the I am approach is saying this is a way to change the environment from less than you can to the best that you can, which increases your sense of value, which increases trust.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at those five chapters, tiny terrors, rapid response, unexpected undercurrents, and then social security and traversing together, that acronym is TRUST.
God,
because trust is the antidote to fear. That
it's
is
true.
The antidote to fear. And that's what we can do for each other. At every moment in time, we have an opportunity to remind someone else of their value.
Yes.
By seeing them at an I am. How cool would that be?
God, how cool would that be? And this book will help you guys. It's called The Fear Reflex. We're talking about 5 ways to overcome it and trust your imperfect self. Dr. Joseph Strand, psychiatrist, is one of the co-authors with Lay Divine. And
Lee Divine.
I'm so sorry. Sorry,
that's okay.
Lee.
I'm sure she's listening. I just want to, Lee, I got your back.
Yeah, you do. Good job, Lee. Good book. It's wonderful, and it's going to help a lot of people.
And I just want to mention, yeah. Dr. Michelle, mm-hmm. that it was thanks to you. Lee and I wrote Outsmarting Anger,
yes.
that we spoke about a year ago.
Yeah.
Do you know that went on to win an award?
Oh, I don't doubt it.
That won the 2013 Books for Better Life Award in Psychology.
Oh.
And I'm sure it had to do with the fact that we were on the air with you.
Well, there you go. See, you know how to have our back. You got you've got Lee's and my back here. But, you know, bless your heart, anything I can do to help, that's what it's about. I also use Outsmarting Anger. Anger for a lot of clients as well. I have them buy that book. So maybe that was it.
That was it.
Put it out there in the hospitals where I see people in my clinical practice. You know, hey, you never know. By the way, in case you just tuned in, you're on the air with Dr. Michelle. And again, we're talking about the fear reflex with Dr. Strand, the author. excuse me. We're, you know, talking about, I just wanted to do a real quick sidestep. Here, if we could, you were talking about the biology from a medical point of view, and you know our heart and how our body knows what to do. I just wanted to throw this out. How much do you think, as a medical doctor, our stressors and fears affects our diseases and disorders we have? I'm not talking about mental disorders. I'm talking about physical problems.
Absolutely, dramatically.
Yeah.
Because again, what happens under stress is we release cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
And cortisol is basically the stress hormone. We release adrenaline, which people know about. And so what cortisol does is and I don't want to stress anybody out with this, but the fact that we have activated this acute stress response, and I actually wrote about this in a book that we never spoke about, called, you know, about how to manage your stress.
Right.
But the stress response does all the things we spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
Increases heart rate, increases blood pressure, a few other things. And this then dramatically influences the way our body responds.
Mm-hmm.
So under acute stress, it's great. But chronic stress, all those things stay on, which leads you at high risk for type 2 diabetes, for high blood pressure, for heart attacks, for immune system response, so allergies, all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what's really interesting about how do we address that.
Yeah.
There's another chemical that the human being has developed called oxytocin.
Mm-hmm.
Not oxycontin, but oxytocin,
yes.
which is the neurohormone of trust and attachment. Neuro means brain. Hormone is a chemical that's made in one part of the body that has an influence on another part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call it, a hormone.
So
oxytocin affects all these other systems.
Mm-hmm.
Here's this incredible, incredible study. I just want to throw it out there because it really goes right to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
There's no question that the stress that we experience has an influence on our biological domain, right? And the medical conditions. And that's why, you know, I worry about the stress that we experience reading things in the newspaper, hearing things on the news.
Sure.
You know, the child molester, predator, and found in the neighborhood. Is it your neighborhood? I tune in at 3. You know, oh my God, I'm now stressed out until 3 o'clock. I heard that at 11 o'clock.
So
here's this amazing thing. This chemical oxytocin. I just wanted to talk about one quick study.
They took
these couples, and they looked at how well these couples were communicating by giving them these paper pencil tests,
mm-hmm.
and they measured how much cortisol was in their blood and how much oxytocin.
Mm-hmm.
And no surprise, the couples that were communicating better had higher levels of oxytocin.
Mm-hmm.
They had more trust.
Yeah.
Okay? They were attached more. Mm-hmm. Then they took all these couples into a controlled hospital setting, and they gave them blisters.
Huh.
Okay, they put these suction cups on their skin, and they sucked up their skin, all the same amount, and gave them these blisters.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the scientists measured how long it took to heal.
Yeah, yeah.
Same blister.
Yep.
The couples with more oxytocin, better communication, increased trust, better attachment, healed faster.
Mm. Wow, so that's
really
amazing.
Interesting. When
that's
you
amazing.
Are feeling yeah. valued and trusted,
right.
you decrease your risk of disease.
Yes.
Because you're in a different biological state. You're not all stressed out with cortisol.
Yeah.
You're feeling great with oxytocin.
Yeah.
And oxytocin is that good feeling. When
yes.
somebody says, Dr. Michelle, this was the best radio show I ever heard, and you get that rush,
yeah.
and you feel great,
mm-hmm.
it's oxytocin.
Yes.
And we can do that. We can do that for each other all the time.
Yes.
When you go and buy coffee
mm-hmm.
or buy tea or whatever you buy,
mm-hmm.
and you say thank you
mm-hmm.
to that person.
Yes, yes.
They feel good. You've increased their oxytocin.
Yes.
You've reaffirmed their value.
Yes.
That they have contributed something, that they are valuable and part of the group, and they're not at risk of being kicked out and being lunched.
Right.
Right? So
exactly.
I agree with you. The stress that we have absolutely affects our biological domain
mm-hmm.
and our susceptibility to medical illness and diseases,
mm-hmm.
and we have a way to address it by seeing people doing the best they can.
Oh, beautifully said, Dr. Shen. Thank you. That was beautiful. And in the book, Fear Reflex, 5 Ways to Overcome It and Trust Your Imperfect Self, besides learning about how to, you know, reaffirm your value and trust more and things like that, you're going to learn how to manage a lot of your fears. Hey, is there a pill, by the way, we can take to increase our oxytocin, Dr. Shen?
You know, it's really interesting.
You're not
there's a lot of experimental stuff going out
yeah.
where they actually make, you know, oxytocin can spray into your nose.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, and I prescribe a lot of medication
yeah.
as a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
This is the one place where I don't think we need a medicine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the one where we can do this for each other.
Mm-hmm.
We can increase somebody else's sense of value
mm.
and trust
mm-hmm.
by reminding them
yes.
of their value, because they're interested in what you think or feel about them.
Yes, yes.
Now, that's amazing. And when you remind someone of their value, you actually become more valuable.
Yes.
People like being around other people who say they're awesome.
That's right.
You know?
And you know, feel it and mean
ahead.
It. And mean it and feel it. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And mean it and feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is the one place where we don't need an artificial oxytocin, although we do have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I don't know whether any of the people out there have heard of Pitocin,
mm-hmm.
but Pitocin is a chemical that
yeah.
we use, a medicine we use,
yeah.
to help a woman who's having difficulty going into labor
yeah.
go into labor.
I had it.
Pitocin is, in essence, synthetic oxytocin.
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So it's oxytocin that makes the uterus contract when you're ready to have a baby.
Yeah.
It's oxytocin that makes the breast milk come down and attaches you to your baby. It's oxytocin that's released when you're beginning to fall in love and when
yeah.
somebody says, you're amazing. You are
wow.
an amazing person, and you get that rush. We can do that for each other all the time.
Mm-hmm. We don't need the pills. We don't need to
nope.
do it. Ah, that's great. So is that why I got through my 24 hours of labor with a Pitocin? Is that what helped me?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Just check in there. it did the job. It really did. By the way, guys, if you would like to pick up the Fear Reflex, you can do so. What's the best way to get a hold of your book, Dr. Shrand? And, you know, have also listeners pick up your other books. You have some great stuff. It's Outsmarting Anger, which has won many awards. You were on my show talking about that book back in 2013. And also How to Manage Your Stress. Wonderful, good, informative, helpful books. And, of course, The Fear Reflex that just came out a little while ago. How can they get you?
Well, certainly, you know, if you go, if you're Barnes & Noble, Amazon,
mm-hmm.
any of these places, they all have the books. If you just Google my name, Shrand, on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
They all come right up. You
mm-hmm.
can go to my website, www.drshrand.com. That's Drshrand, as in Nancy, D as in David.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find links right there, which will take you right to them.
Yeah.
And I'd be really interested. If people do buy, which I would love it, of course, write comments. If you're doing it through Amazon,
mm-hmm.
let me know what you think. You know, I'm really interested in what people think about this. I'm trying to give people a tool.
Mm-hmm.
The I Am approach is a tool so you can begin to really look at yourself more honestly
yes.
by trusting yourself. You're doing okay.
Yeah.
You're doing the best you can at this moment. but you can be at a different I am the next second if you want to.
Yes.
It's up to you.
Yep.
That's incredible.
Get off your own back, folks. And again, yeah. We have all this pressure from our upbringing, you know, messages about us that really necessarily were not true, but we always take it. What did I do wrong? You know, even bullies at school make, you know, all of our growth periods. And then adolescence is fearful with all the hormones, and then how we struggle as adults, and then our, you know, social media is crazy. It's just so difficult to try to get that, you know, that self-worth and that self-esteem going. But
and it's so important,
yes,
because without it, I think that we rob ourselves of creative process. Think about this. When you are worried that you're going to be devalued, you are less likely to take that chance.
Yes.
You're less likely to try for that new job, meet that new person, cross the street and try something new, because you worry that you're going to be judged as less than you can.
Yeah.
The I am approach is saying, do it.
Yes.
You are always doing the best that you can. So take that chance.
Yes.
Meet that person. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the worst that can happen? If you are rejected by them, mm-hmm. it's not about you. That's their I am.
That's it.
The best they could do is reject you. It's about them. It's
That's
not
right.
about you.
That's right.
You are doing the best you can.
Yeah.
So please, please, you know, remember you're creative. You know, one of the craziest things that parents, you know, use, the adage, curiosity killed the cat.
Mm-hmm.
Why on earth would we want our children to not be curious?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know,
why on earth? Exactly.
Just be curious, be interested. Mm-hmm. The reason people don't look at themselves is because they fear they will find someone who is less than valuable.
Mm. Isn't that
you
true?
You know, and you know, as
yeah.
a therapist,
yeah.
Myself as a therapist, we confront this thing called resistance.
Yes.
Resistance
exactly.
is when somebody doesn't want to look. Mm-hmm. The I am approach cuts right through it
mm-hmm.
because it's saying, look, and I get the privilege of saying, I'm a psychiatrist, not a judge.
Yes.
I'm just interested in why people do what they do. Here's a roadmap.
Yes.
The I am
exactly.
is a tool, a roadmap.
Yes.
What happened at home?
Yes.
What happened in the rest of the world?
Right.
How did that affect your brain and your body? How did that affect the way you began to see yourself through the eyes of others?
That's right. And here's how you can do it. That's right.
This is how you do it.
Exactly. And you can do it by reading The Fear Reflex, folks. 5 Ways to Overcome It and Trust Your Imperfect Self. It's about that time, Dr. Schran. We have to get going. We've got a CBS Hard News break coming up, but you're the best.
Todd, I so enjoy chatting with you. Thanks so much for everything.
Listen,
you know,
my pleasure.
It's an I am. It's great.
There you go. That's exactly right. And mutual. Listen, thanks again. And all the information about your book and this show will be up in the archives tomorrow. So everybody can start to buy your book right now, right this moment, or find out in the archives tomorrow morning and listen again to the show. Thanks so much, Dr. Schran. And have a lovely time this weekend. And thanks again for your wisdom.
Thanks, Dr. Michelle. We'll speak next year.
Yeah, we will. Okay.
Bye
now.
Bye.
All right, guys. Again, like I said, it will be up here in the archives on Dr. Michelle right here on Channel 1. And so don't forget to check it out. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. About that time to go. Woo. Time flies when you're having fun here. All right. Do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for other people, and that's the way it works. Find out how to overcome your fear reflex. Listen again to today's show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day. It's Dr. Michelle Cohen out.